Just a friendly reminder that the opinions expressed on this show are not worth a Canadian penny, so disregard anything you hear that might get anyone in trouble. And despite some of the great ideas you may hear, don't try them at home. Go to a friend's house instead.
It's time to get a gun. That's what I've been thinking. Well, I could afford one. And if I did just a little less drinking, time to put something between me and the sun. Time to get a gun.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Slam Fire Radio, episode 74 for September 12th, 2014. I'm one of your illustrious hosts. Is illustrious a word?
Illustrious.
Illustrious.
Yeah. Lustrous would be like
luscious.
No. Luscious.
Yes.
There
yes.
you go.
Yes. That is totally appropriate for Trevor.
Luscious. Absolutely.
I'm the for latte.
I'm the warning shot. And Owen's a yes, big pause. Sorry. That's all Owen is.
I was waiting for the last name, but it never came. So, no, yeah, and I'm Owen.
We don't do nicknames and last names. We do first names and last names or nicknames.
Yeah.
This is episode 74, Get With The Program.
Oh, you'd think you'd have it figured out by now.
This is 74 already?
74.
I know.
Wow. What happened to everything past one? I don't remember it. It must have been good.
Couple of shows, Doc Wesson was on, Brian Bulliver complained, you know, it's all blur.
It's just like normal. Par for the course.
Archie Perry didn't hardly get no shout-outs.
Yeah. It's terrible. We're so bad to our listeners.
I know, but that's because we suck and they hate us.
Right.
So, Matthew.
Yes.
Tell us.
What
did you do?
Oh, what did I do? I get to go first. I didn't do very much this week, unfortunately. I've been busy doing lots of other things. But I did finish up the 50 Beowulf, review video. So that's on my YouTube channel. So YouTube.
Excellent. I shared it immediately.
Yeah. It's also on our Facebook page. So you guys can find it there. But my YouTube channel is MMATT for anybody who's not on Facebook. I understand some people are like, oh, anti-technology, but I think they're really just anti-social, right? Because Facebook's a social media. Nothing?
Yep.
No?
Hey, Dr.
No?
Phil.
Digging my own hole here, am I?
Yep.
You guys are just going to let me go. Here's some more rope, McClatchy. Hang yourself.
Dig up, stupid. Dig up.
I tried. It didn't work. Anyway, so that was fun. I enjoyed doing that and hardly even gave myself a Charlie horse shooting that thing so many times.
Nice.
By hardly ever, I mean I did regularly.
First world problems. Yeah. Suck it up.
Yeah, it was fun, though. So anyway, so I shot that. It was a lot of fun. And then I shot my car. It's not bulletproof, but I will try again to make sure.
Okay.
I guess I got to tell the story behind that.
Yes, I think you kind of need to. Yes. Yeah.
You lost me at, I muted my mic and yelled at my wife for a glass of water. And then I came back and read your notes and said I shot my car.
Right. That's the one.
Carry on.
So, fortunately, this is not a car that's on the road anymore. It's the Subaru that has been pulled off the road. Registration is revoked and blah, blah, blah. It's just a property bomber now. So anyway, Curtis and I were out in it this morning, just driving around and basically being morons in it. Gravel pit shenanigans. And there are several trees that used to be upright and now they're not. Through no fault of my own. That was Curtis driving. Totally Curtis, mostly.
You still have the car?
Yeah, still have the car. It still runs.
Is Prestige Ventures carrying Tannerite yet?
Not yet, but
I hear 8 pounds will do a nice job. Car.
Unfortunately, the paperwork says that 1 pound is the maximum size explosive you're allowed to, or target you're allowed to shoot. But
really?
Anyway,
it says that?
That's what it says. Whatever. I don't know. We'll see what happens, whether or not YouTube gets involved here or not. I don't know if they're going to send out the camera crew for this or not, but we'll see. Anyway, we were just out and we had stopped and we're exploring a swamp because you find a swamp, you go explore it, right? I mean, that's just kind of par for the course. And we were heading back to the car and I had my rifle and so there was the car and it needed to be shot. So I shot it. Whatever. Apparently, it's not bulletproof. A bullet went in one door and out the other. So don't hide behind doors, folks, if you're hiding in a gunfight. Yeah, cover, concealment, not cover. But anyway, it's going to get shot out more, and I'm sure it'll eventually become a YouTube channel or a video and also a story. I'm sure there'll be a story involved at some point.
And probably a police report. But that's
well, you know, maybe. Yeah, I'm not ruling anything out at this point.
Exactly. You have to keep an open mind.
That's right. So anyway, yeah, just kind of shenanigans and fun for me this week. Trev, what'd you get up to?
I'm slowly getting my reloading room back together. Ever since I went back to work, I've been plugging away at it a couple hours a night. We renovated the entire, well, we didn't renovate the entire basement, but we insulated it, put up walls and new windows, and I had a new reloading bench built, so I've been fancying that up with pegboard and shelves, and I just got the press in place tonight, a light and stuff, so it's a picture on my Facebook there. It's looking pretty good, but why I chose white, I really don't. It's going to be impossible.
I was wondering that too. I mean, I was looking at the basement going, he's going to like load 1,000 rounds and think he's in an institution, and this is what they do in that institution.
Well, I think one of the reasons why I chose white was the basement was so dark before. Right. Now, with the sheetrock being up and primed white and the workbench being primed and painted white, everything is nice and bright. Mm-hmm. And turning 40 next month, my eyes are failing. So,
whoa, wait, what? You're turning 40? Like 40, not 14. Yeah.
That's right.
But four, wow.
Yeah, I know. You're both invited to the bash, by the way. It's on November 1st.
Oh, there's going to be a bash, all right.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, she's turning 42, so we're just going to...
42?
No, 40 as well. Oh. That's funny. Christina, you're turning 42. Sorry.
It's on the air now. Is it?
So she goes, yeah, why? No. I mean, 42, like, you know, the universe,
the number,
and everything. Never mind. Oh, man. Anyway, what I do? Never mind, Christina. It's a McClatchy joke. I'll explain it later. I'll draw you a picture. It'll be okay.
Yeah.
Go color or something.
Go
color. I shot my 590A1 at some steel plates and poppers at the range to test the locations of the poppers, in particular for this weekend's match.
What choke did you use?
Well, the 590A1 has no choke. It's a cylinder bore.
Oh.
That's why I chose it, because I
wanted
to see.
And it knocked everything over?
You can aim, and that's another reason why I took it. It's got nice sights on it. You can aim in between two plates on the plate rack and only get one or the other. You're not getting both.
Oh, okay. That's good.
However, the same cannot be said for the poppers. The poppers that are left over from SummerSlam are spaced too closely together, and the first thing you and I are going to do tomorrow when we get to the range is go remedy that situation. Oh, okay.
What are you running in your Versamax for the match?
Full.
A full choke?
Yeah.
They're going to be some out that far? You don't think modified might be a better option?
I don't think. I just do.
Oh, okay.
That's what's in the guns. That's what's going to happen.
Right. Well, that's what's in the gun this week. See, last year for the 3-gun, I did shoot a full, and I actually missed a couple of times with a shotgun. I was shooting too fast, but mind you, had I had a modified, I was close and like some pellets hit, but it just wasn't enough. A modified probably would have knocked over those targets. So
I probably will. We have, from upstairs in the house, 5 plates down, on the ground, out quite a ways.
Yeah.
Probably close to, well, out quite a ways, sort of between 12 and 15.
Right.
And then from the bus, you've got clay pigeons to take from inside the bus through the windows on the berms, which are about between 8 and 10.
Right.
And then you get out the back of the bus, and about 11 away, there are 8 more steel plates that you have to knock over. That's going to be an interesting stage to see how people manage their reloads.
Yeah.
So that's the only shooting I did. I made a deal to purchase an M&P, because why not? That's why.
Well, an M&P what?
Oh, 9.
Oh, okay, because there's such thing as an M&P 15 and M&P 22, so you realize that there was a bit of a confusion.
Yeah, and an M&P Pro, I'm sorry. I'm tired, and I expect the listeners and you to read my mind. Right. Owen's probably reading a LARPing page and isn't listening anyway, so it doesn't matter. you remember Pierre-Luc? You know who Pierre-Luc is?
Who?
Pierre-Luc.
Of course.
Yeah.
You only talk about him every show.
Just about,
I think you've got a new crush on him or something.
No, but no. he is the guy who bought my Smith & Wesson 686 for $850 and sold it back to me for $650.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I'm a fan of him.
Yeah, he's a cool guy.
Yeah. So, anyway, he tells me that he was losing interest in IPSC because he's not a competitive person. He started to get good. And when he started to get good, he started to feel the pressure of competition, so it turned him off. And this has happened in other sports that he tried. And he just completely wants to do things because
it's fun.
They're an excuse to use his hobby or whatever, you know? And he got talked into buying the M&P. If you know Pierre Luc, you know he's a Millsap guy. He's like the equivalent of Ian on the Doc Wesson show, Gun Nation. If we had him on here, that's who he would be.
He's more comfortable with a Luger in his hand than an M&P9.
Absolutely. Yeah. So what he's actually after is a Browning High Power.
Oh, yeah. That'd suit him perfectly, actually.
Leather holster, leather belt. That's what he wanted to get the first time, but somebody talked him out of it and said, oh, it's not very competitive. You can't send it away to get it tuned or worked on. And he doesn't want it tuned or worked on.
Yeah, exactly.
He wants to shoot Ipswich with the gun he wants to shoot.
That's it.
You didn't allow him to do that, and he almost quit.
That's right.
So I'm buying his M&P because it's a really good price, and it'll help him buy his high power. So, I'm getting the gun and 5 mags. And mag pouches and holster for 6.
Oh, I should give him a call before you do.
It's too late. It's done.
Dang it.
Nice try, though. And then I was supposed to go to the range today, but you know how we feel about rain, so I didn't.
We don't like the rain.
Yeah, so where it says, shot my new Glock Versamax and STIAR. No.
That was preemptively put in there, and then you realize, there is this wet stuff coming down, so...
Yeah, what's going on? The sky is leaking.
Sky is leaking. The clouds are crying.
Yeah, the sky is falling. The sky is falling. Anyway, I turned that time into working on the reloading room and trying to change the bolt release on the Versamax yet again, and managed to mar up the receiver pretty good this time. I Loctited the button in after I had it off last time, the round one that Casey put on at Tactical Ordnance.
Yeah.
Who, by the way, I'll say it again if you don't know, is now cutting Versamax barrels and making it work.
So when do you send yours off?
I don't know if I do.
Oh.
I'm not, you know, I don't know. 26 isn't the end of the world, but I don't know. Anyway, we'll come back to that later on after I do it. So the bolt release screws in. You have the original bolt release, which is pressed into a lever inside the receiver that's held in place with a pin. And, you know, it's spring loaded, but it's pressed into that lever, but it's not secure. It spins. So when it was drilled and tapped. So when you put the screw in it and start screwing the Allen key with the Allen key, once the screw starts to get tight, the entire thing spins and you can't tighten the screw anymore.
Yep.
So you need to wedge a pair of needle nose pliers between the receiver and the bolt release and secure it in place. And then continue to tighten. Well, it's all chewed up and marred up because it keeps slipping because there was a lot of Loctite. It was hard to get off. And anyway, when I finally got the Osprey Ordnance bolt release on, it's not round. It's rectangular. And I've either worn out the factory part or it was always free flow, free spinning, if you will. So this nice rectangular bolt release, which is supposed to run parallel with the bottom of the receiver, is now just flopping around and makes no sense. It just, you know, it's free floating and spinning around.
Right.
If it's a round button, it doesn't matter if it rotates and spins. But if it's rectangular, it should be secured enough that it doesn't rotate on you.
Gotcha. So could we sum up by saying you put a square peg into a round hole?
No.
Oh. Clearly I wasn't listening. You better start from the beginning.
If only it was that easy with Trevor's story.
So, Nathan, if you're listening, tell me what I'm doing wrong. And while playing with my new Glock, my Glock 35 was a Gen 3, and my Glock 17 is a Gen 4.
When did we switch to Glocks?
I'm just coming back to dry firing practice with my Glock 17 last night. It's got the original mag release, which is minuscule, and I can't reach it.
Right.
It's so small. Sum it up, Gen 4 for the win.
It's got a big mag release.
Yep. The grip is a little bit smaller, fits my hand better. I don't remember the Gen 3 grip being that big, but man, feels like I'm holding a Glock 21. That's what it feels like. It really does feel big.
I was, must have been Owen's Gen 3 I picked up.
Owen has a Gen 4.
Or Gen 4, I mean, at the last Black Badge we taught, probably, is when I picked it up. And man, the grips felt super small compared to my Gen 3, but...
Here,
I,
here.
Uh, I need the Gen 3 size. I can't shoot the smaller one, I don't think.
Yeah, you've got pretty long fingers.
Yeah.
So, oh well. That's it for me. Owen, how about you?
I didn't do a whole lot, except I did go hunting on Saturday. We talked about that last week on the show, that I was possibly going to do that.
And so, you did.
And you
did.
And
I did.
And you shot your wife. No, brought your wife.
Phrasing.
And, yeah, it was a good time. We, first, good part, we got up at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, I'm out.
And,
you know, you can buy domestic geese, right?
Yeah, but they don't fly.
Well, if and you don't throw get them.
To see this, you don't get to see the sun come up.
Yeah, you do. You just watch the right movie. There's a sunrise and a sunset in almost every movie ever made.
Yeah, you just gotta, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Sorry, guys. I just enjoy it. And, yeah, I got up at 3, the truck was all packed, loaded my wife in and the guns and everything, and off we went.
She was still sleeping, probably.
Oh, she was awake and kind of disbelieving what we were doing, I think. And we got to the
field. Are we actually getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning to go out and freeze our butts off in a field?
Oh, it's warm. It was 21 degrees.
Oh, I do remember that. Yeah.
It was super warm that night. So it was good that way that, you know, for her first time out, it was nice and warm. And, we got to the field before 4 o'clock, about 20 to four, and waited for David to show up. David, random New Brunswick Dave and his wife came, and we sat around in the trucks until about 5, had breakfast, and headed out to the field and, yeah, started setting up.
Awesome. So how'd it go?
Good. We made one little mistake, which would have made a huge difference in the hunt.
You were facing the wrong way.
Much more successful. No, we were set up perfectly for the wind, and we had a perfect spread of decoys. The blinds hid very well. Everything was really good, but running across this field was some power lines. And in the dark,
they were in the landing pattern.
They were in the landing pattern. Just enough so that they could almost land in front of us, but not quite. And they would come in, they'd be perfect, and then they'd lift up over the wires, and they couldn't drop down fast enough to get into our pocket, and they would either overshoot on one side or the other or behind us. And we were a little bit uncoordinated as far as when we were going to shoot and who was calling the shot. Well, generally I call the shot when we're hunting. But they came right over David one time, and he yelled, "Get him!" And he jumped up and started shooting them, and nobody else had a shot. We only had—I mean, there wasn't a lot of geese coming anyway. There was only about 4 groups,
right?
And so the first group came in perfectly, and I called the shot just a little bit too late. I waited until they were right in front of the two ladies, because we put them in the middle between the two of us, their blinds, and they came in, and I called the shot right when they got to there, which normally would be okay for them, but because they're not used to doing it, was their both of their first time, they got up out of the blind slow and didn't really get a shot. David shot one right on the tail end, and I shot 3 off my side. And, you know, it was pretty good, but we could have probably had a couple more if they'd been able to pull a trigger.
Right.
And then the second group came in and completely overshot us. And I don't know what happened. I forget. Now, we got a couple out of that, mostly Dave and I turning around and shooting. The third group, I don't even remember the last couple of groups, how they came in. But anyway, needless to say, neither Dave's wife or my wife pulled the trigger all morning,
well,
which was unfortunate. Yeah, I thought they didn't care. They had fun. They thought it was great. They'll go again. You know, but it, we were disappointed. Dave and I were really disappointed that they didn't get to shoot. So, and again, it was just one little mistake being, you know, 15 yards too close to those wires. If we'd been that much farther away, that's all it would have taken.
So I take it this was a new field then, Owen?
A new field?
Yeah.
What do you mean by a new field?
That's something you hadn't hunted before?
I had hunted in this field...
before the power lines were put in?
No, but just, I mean, it's a huge field.
Yeah.
And it just happened to be that's where the geese were going.
Right.
So that's where we set up. And in the dark, it's really interesting goose hunting, because you're set up in the dark, and things that look long ways away in the dark are not as far away once it gets light. I mean, it doesn't move, but it's just your perspective, because you can't see it in the dark.
No. Things move.
You say, oh, well, that house is a long ways away because I can barely see it. And then it gets light and you go, oh, wow, that house is a lot closer than I thought it was. You know, that kind of thing.
I'm telling you that things move. They do. They get up and they walk around in the night. I'm telling you. Like, no, let's hide way over here. That's where monsters under your bed come from. Just things moving in the night. I'm just saying.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, it was a good, we saw a few ducks. We got buzzed right early on by ducks. I could have reached out and grabbed one out of the air as it went over my blind. And, had a few land right in front of the girls. So they got to see them up close. And that's always fun, but not season for ducks. So we couldn't shoot them. And, I don't know. I'm trying to think. We saw a couple deer. There was a deer in the field when we pulled in early at 5.
That I forgot to talk about.
Okay. And then we saw a deer and a doe and two fawns come out later on in the morning as we were sitting there. So it was all on and tiring. You don't get a whole lot done the rest of the day because you're so wiped from getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning. But yeah, I don't know. Good time. I enjoyed it. Got to pull a trigger. I shot well. We shot 16 geese total, which was basically Dave and I each shot our limit. And I had shot a couple doubles and a couple triples, and it was good. So, yeah, that's about it. Trevor, you want to go back on something
finish.
Here?
Yeah, I'll go back and finish. Thanks. I forgot to mention, not a big deal, but I did spend over $2,000 on bought 3 guns today. I don't know how that slipped my mind. I am tired. No, it was decided by the organizing committee that we were going to invest the money that we normally spend on a welcome gift in guns for the prize table. So I won't say what they are, but I was on the phone with Freedom Ventures, and I spent over $2,000, and I'm not done yet. I'm going to spend probably another $2,000. I'm going to try and share the love and spread the wealth around. The first 3 that I bought are all restricted. And I'm also working on a deal with possibly, I'm not going to say the store yet because I'm hoping to get sponsorship. I'm going to order, we sold tickets on a Daniel Defense, which that bum Luke Giroux won. Then we sold tickets on a Versamax, which one of our guys here in Restigouche won, who has more money than God. So I don't, you know, he didn't need to win a gun, but whatever. He bought one ticket fair and square. This year I'm going to go with a hunting rifle. I think we'll probably sell out with a hunting rifle. We didn't sell out with a non-restricted shotgun. I don't know why, but Muffin figures it's because it was black. He said if it was camo, it would have sold out. But anyway, I'm thinking Tika T3, and I'm thinking 30-06.
Yeah, nice all-around good hunting gun.
Yeah, something with glass. Yep. I'm going to try and...
Fiberglass, haha.
Yeah. No, yeah. I've got a number in mind. I need to look at some prices online before I say the number aloud, so I don't embarrass myself in case I'm way off. But
right.
Anyway, that's okay. What I'm I don't thinking. Mind. Yeah, I know.
Go ahead and embarrass yourself.
I got an invite from fellow NFA field officer, the gentleman who I met in the bar in the Miramichi during the drinking contest. He Facebooked me and asked me if I had any deer hunting plans this fall, and if I wanted to join him at his camp in Nova Scotia to go shoot a deer. So the first weekend I suggested, he's actually ironically in New Brunswick that weekend. So I don't know if and when I'm going to get to go, but I'm going to try my darndest. And it was right after I made the deal for the M&P. So it was like, dope. So stay tuned for that. Maybe
get it, doe.
Deer. Yeah. Get see what I know that I did there?
Yeah.
Alrighty. Upcoming events / news. The Press Check Ventures multi-gun will be held this Saturday. I'll be there.
I'll be
Matthew
there.
You will be there.
Owen, where are you going to be?
Filthy will be there. Everybody except for Owen will be there.
Right.
Yep. That's cool.
Now you know it's not
I'm
cool.
It's not cool.
No.
Now you know why I'm not there.
It's the opposite of cool. Well, make sure that you shoot enough geese on Saturday that I get a bottle out of it.
Oh, listen, if I had to choose between geese and the multi-gun, I'd probably be at the multi-gun. Oh. But I have to work. So.
Oh, it's a work thing.
It's a work thing.
Oh. Well, for a second,
that's what happens when
excuse.
You promise someone that you're going
oh,
to
right,
that out.
Jaw. Oh, yes. Well, apparently that friend means more to you than Matthew and I do. Oh, it's okay.
Yeah. Well, no, we know where we stand in this whole relationship
thing.
Break
your word to us, but not that friend. I get it.
Yeah, no, we understand.
Right. Yeah, we don't care about your excuses. So it's
$20. I've noticed.
Yeah.
Why are you telling people the prices and stuff? By the time they hear this, it's too late.
Yes. No, you're going to have this out tonight. What are you talking about? Hey, right. It's 9/11.
It is 9. Yeah, and it is 9/11 actually today,
and
September 11th.
And
we were going to mention that earlier. And
so go ahead, Matthew. Fix our bad.
condolences to our American brothers and sisters, and we're with you on this, and you know, we were affected too, and we're thinking of you.
Definitely, yeah. So even though the show's coming on the 12th, we are recording on the anniversary.
Yep.
Do you guys remember where you were that day?
Driving home from Ontario, actually.
How about you, Owen?
I was in the process of tearing down a piece of our barn with a friend. Yep.
I was a student teacher in a grade 5 classroom, and it was recess time, and I came out of the staff room. The TV was on in the staff room. The news was on. And I called home to my roommate, and he was freaked out. He was quitting school and going home to St. John. He was having a panic attack. And I come out of the staff room, and my cooperating teacher is coming around the corner, and I said, "Did you see the news? You see what's going on right now?" And I'll never forget this. Cut me like a knife. She said, "I don't care about what's going on in the world right now. I've got bigger problems in my classroom."
Wow.
Ooh. Yeah. Yeah, you just need to get over yourself a little bit. Anyway, I'm sure that she lived to regret those words, and if not, I hope she did, because that was just, you know, like.
Well, it's amazing, you know, you don't understand the context of things sometimes until you see them first person. So, you know, if she hadn't heard the news, she didn't know what's going on, then nothing could be more important until it was. So,
well said, Matthew.
Yeah.
Okay, back to upcoming events then. Thunderbird Tactical Carbine Clinic. Alex,
We're waiting for you, bud.
Yeah, we're waiting on you.
1 month from today it is, actually.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So there's still one spot, and we want it to go to Alex.
Yeah.
And you can no longer cancel. So if you cancel, we're keeping your money.
Yeah.
And now, the news. That was awful.
That was great.
Yeah.
All right. The news. Oh, my. How about you read the news?
Who?
I don't know. You. You take the first one because it's really long. And Owen, you take the other one because it's almost as long. And I'll just mute my mic and play with my gun.
Missing hunter found dead after grizzly bear attack. He went hunting near Pickle Jar Creek Trail Saturday morning. Didn't return home in the evening as expected. The man has been identified as Rick Cross. He was found dead by search teams on Monday. During the search, that's the quote from the RCMP there. The man's family in Calgary was notified Monday night. They could not be reached for comment. This is a time of year when bears are getting anxious about getting enough food for winter, so they're a little bit more protective of their food sources. There was a freshly killed deer cache in the vicinity, said one of the people associated with the search. Surprising a mom bear with a cub is one trigger for an attack, and getting too close to a food source is another, so it's kind of a double whammy there. He was in the wrong place at the wrong time. So they do go on to say there hasn't been a fatal bear attack in that area for over a decade, but, it does happen from time to time. The last one was a competitive mountain biker, Isabel Dube, was killed by a 90-kilogram grizzly bear as she jogged near a golf course in 2005. So
jogging looks like food, right? It will elicit like a predatory response.
Yeah, it's like swimming. Sharks view that as, you know, your seal flopping around or whatever. So,
a hunter, obviously. Yeah. He wasn't hunting with a slingshot. Again, it just goes to prove that action is faster than reaction. And when you've got a grizzly bear bearing down on you doing 25 kilometers an hour, best of luck.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, eh? And we don't know what happened there. Did he see the bear and just not take it seriously enough?
Yeah, maybe.
You know, this is a lesson to remember, you know, take bears seriously.
Shoot, shovel, and shut up.
That's right. I mean,
would be the advice I would offer you if I was able to offer you advice, but I can't because this show is for entertainment purposes only.
That's right. So I'm wondering if maybe if he had had a handgun, if he was allowed to carry something smaller and quicker in action, maybe that would have helped. I don't know. I'm just speculating here, but I think it's a good case to kind of promote wilderness carry, wilderness ATC. You know, you should be able to carry appropriately sized handguns if you're out in the woods, whether you're hunting with a rifle or a shotgun or not. You know, if you have that slung, getting a gun out of a holster is a lot quicker than unslinging a rifle and bringing it, you know, up to your shoulder and getting your cheek aligned and your eye aligned and all that stuff.
You've hunted with me.
I have hunted with you, and that, this is exactly what I'm saying. You're so slow. You always miss things.
No, you know how I carry my gun.
Yes, you carry it at the ready, but not everybody does. Some people carry it slung over their shoulder, right? So maybe having a handgun would have helped. I don't know. I'm just trying to get us to carry handguns more.
I mean, I got yeah.
Yeah.
Obviously, so. I wasn't ready, and the bear was, but it's unfortunate.
Yeah. So
be aware of your surroundings. Don't hunt with an iPod on.
That's right.
And don't use bacon deodorant or toothpaste. Thanks for that, Dave Cadby.
Yep.
All right. Owen, you want to take the next one?
Sure. Firing guns in rural areas isn't inherently dangerous, court rules. A former American military sniper.
What?
Pardon me?
Thank God for courts.
I was just about to say, duh.
Yeah. If the court wouldn't have been able to decide this for us, whatever would we have done?
It's crazy. I mean, think of all the bullets we could have fired if we had known it wasn't inherently dangerous.
All right.
Sorry, Owen. Continue.
Can I finish
on.
Now?
Yeah.
Can I start now?
Can you start, basically? Yeah. Go ahead.
A former American military sniper who fired his gun to scare off a stray dog in a rural area of Ontario deserves another trial on charges of careless use of a firearm.
No, he doesn't. He deserves to not go to trial. He deserves to have charges dropped.
Speaking of trials.
Yeah.
What was this about Ian Thompson being in the news again, being acquitted? I thought that was all
No, done. it was just brought up again because something similar happened, and so they were just using it to showcase that there's already been a precedent set here. Okay. You know, it's all okay.
Right. Okay.
That's all.
Sorry, take two.
Take seven.
Take three.
Teen.
Okay. The province's top court ruled on Friday. In its decision, the Court of Appeal said two lower courts were wrong to convict. See, it's not on trial. He's already been convicted.
Right.
John Batty, I think, on the basis that the simple act of firing his gun was dangerous and noted their rulings could have serious implications for those who live outside urban areas. Absent any findings as to the manner in which the rifle was used or the trajectory of the projectile, there may have been any number of ways in which the shot could have been fired which might have posed no risk to other, the appeal court said. This is not a situation like a shooting in a shopping mall, which would be inherently dangerous.
So note to self, no warning shots at dogs in shopping malls. Maybe in rural areas, okay. Shopping malls, no. Okay, right. Good.
In deciding to hear the appeal, the top provincial court noted the implications of the guilty verdict for rural residents. Generality of finding of the findings supporting the conclusion that the use of the rifle was careless may have broader significance relating to permissible farm practices, the court said. Batty, who is 67, who lives near St. Thomas, Ontario, was convicted in January last year. Summary conviction was upheld on first appeal in December. He testified he was experienced in the use of firearms and routinely shot weasels, rats, and vermin to keep them from his chickens. The trial judge made no findings about how Batty had fired his rifle, given that there were no eyewitnesses. However, he still concluded that discharging the weapon beside the road and close to neighboring homes was inherently dangerous.
Okay, so he shot it at a dog to scare it off in the countryside, and his neighbor happened to see him with a gun shooting, but there's no eyewitnesses. So
somebody made a complaint, I would assume, but right. We don't actually know that somebody saw him do it.
Well, it says there were no eyewitnesses right there.
That's right. That's
so
right.
Nobody saw him do it, but I heard a shot. It must be dangerous.
Well, here's the thing. Does Ontario have the minimum distances for discharging a firearm like New Brunswick does?
Don't know.
Well, I would
New Brunswick,
presume.
It's 100 for a bow, 200 for a shotgun, 400. These right. are in meters for a rifle.
Yep.
So perhaps he was within the, let's say, for argument's sake, Ontario has a minimum distance of 400.
Like maybe he was inside the 400, yeah.
Perhaps that's what the charges stem from.
Except if that's where the charges stem from, I wouldn't imagine he would be getting another trial.
No, he'd just be convicted and that would be it.
That's right. So I don't know if that's the case.
There are also allowances for defense of property from and defense of livestock and, you know.
That's true. It's
already been
– so. I can shoot off of my own step in my own property.
It's not been said that he was. No, that's not correct. That even counts for other people. If you're on your property on your own step and something's in your chickens, you can shoot it. It doesn't matter if your neighbor's house is 100 meters away.
What if I want to protect my dandelions?
In New Brunswick.
What if you want to protect your dandelions against the rascally rabbits?
What if I'm a vegetarian and I want to protect my vegetables?
Yeah. There you go. Yeah. Maybe.
Can I finish the story here?
I guess so.
Yeah. No? Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Because I can stop right now.
Yeah.
But he should be noted that he has also already said that he has routinely, you know, shot weasels, rats, keep them from his chickens.
Stop right now. He's like he's talking to his students in his class. If you interrupt me once more, I will stop this lecture.
Yes, pretty much. And I will.
You guys won't have the notes you need for the test on Friday. What are you? But you're not.
Well, I might not even give you a break. So.
You're right, Owen. He did say that he routinely shoots weasels and other vermin, and he hasn't had any trouble from that. So why all of a sudden now? Because there was a fire.
Well, we don't know that it was because it was a dog. I mean, he could have got reported another time doing these. But it is noted that he has chickens and stray dogs.
Yes,
love chickens.
They certainly do.
The trial judge made no findings about how Batty had fired his rifle, given that there were no eyewitnesses. However, he concluded, okay, I've already read this. The initial appeal judge upheld the conviction, saying that the trial judge's inferences that firing the weapon posed a safety risk to anyone in the area was reasonable. Batty argued the conviction should be set aside on the grounds that there was no evidence to show his use of the rifle was necessarily careless, and the Court of Appeal agreed. In our view, the trial judge and the summary conviction judge both erred in concluding that the firing a shot in this rural environment, whatever the manner in which the shot was fired, necessarily amounted to a marked departure from the conduct of a reasonable person. The appeal court found the conviction cannot be sustained. Batty's lawyer, Philip Miller, said the ruling was important for all rural residents. Farmers can't be at risk of being convicted because somebody heard a shot.
See, that's what happened. I should have read the article earlier. I would have known that I was actually talking about the right thing. Somebody heard a shot, called the cops.
If we read the articles ahead of time and actually proofread stuff and double-check sources, we wouldn't fire Matthew.
Yeah, that's true. It would actually be sort of factual and legitimate. We don't want that to ever happen.
Don't turn this into the Polite Society podcast. We're not going to start doing things right.
So anyway, basically, this is fantastic outcome for this guy and for everybody, because now common sense has been upheld by a court ruling. So firing a shot in a non-urban area is not inherently dangerous. We all knew this, but now it's on the books. So, golf clap for that judge.
Exactly. Slow clap for Ontario judges. Alrighty, folks. Let's jump into our main topic. And this week, we're doing an interview with Edward Osborne. He blogs on the website, or the blog site, whichever you bloggers call it, I don't know, in the blogosphere, TV Press Pass. So, Edward, welcome to the show, and we're sorry.
I'm pleased to be here.
He says
sure
that
you'd be the first.
Well, Edward, why don't you start off by telling us a little bit about your blog, and then we'll get into why we asked you to join us tonight.
So, I try to do a fair bit of firearms journalism, and some of that I publish on the firearm blog, which is on the larger side of things. And then some of that I keep for personal stuff, which I do through the TV Press Pass blog. I do a little bit on YouTube as well. That's what my original bachelor's degree is in, so journalism.
YouTube?
Pretty much, yeah. They taught us how to do YouTube in school and paid them a bunch of money for that. So.
Nice. That's a great idea.
New business idea.
Yep. Cool.
Excellent. So, Edward, tell us a little bit about the experience you've gone through recently with the VZ-58 pistol. Start with how and why you wanted to import it. Maybe if you've got any experience as being an importer, and the whole fiasco with the RCMP and where we're at now.
So, this has been running for more than a year. And initially, it was right around the time when sort of pistol carbines were coming out as a new thing, right? ATRS did their AR-15 pistol, and the Rockefeller Arms pistol was just starting to get big. And this was before you could really find Beowulf magazines and when LAR-15 magazines were a really big deal. And everybody was sort of saying, oh, well, you know, there's nothing really for the VZ or the 858, which was and still should be one of the most popular firearms in the country. You could essentially only ever do a AR-15 Magwell adapter in there. And it was a lot of pain to install, and it cost a fair bit of money, and it didn't work with everybody's gun. And there was lots of people who had sort of said, oh, we should really get an 8.58 pistol. Somebody should do that, right? In the same way that Wolverine was able to go to Robinson Armament and get an XCR pistol made, right? It didn't seem like a difficult proposal. And so I was sort of waiting and waiting for somebody else to do it, and it never happened. So I started looking online, and it turns out that there is a company that makes a VZ-58 pistol already. Their name is Checkpoint, and they're out of the U.S. And they are the Czech importer of CSA firearms and of a couple of other ones that would normally be prohib here, the VZ-61. So I looked and I saw that there was this pistol available. I said, well, I should buy one and import it.
Well, yeah, of course you should. Why wouldn't you?
Exactly. So I went to Zahal.org, which is an
Love
Israeli
them.
Company. Yeah, they do
Love
a lot
them.
Of great stuff.
That's where I got all my furniture for my CZ-858 and even some just M4-style buttstocks for other guns.
Yeah, and they supply a bunch of non-common, you know, they're way more interested in things that aren't AR-15s. And so they have a resource in Czech Republic, and that's where they buy and sell a lot of their stuff, and they do stuff out of Israel as well. And so I said, you know, can you guys find an original manufacturer in Czech Republic, because I always call it Czechoslovakia, and they always correct me, like, no, it's Czech Republic now. They say, can you find an original manufacturer to produce magazines for this pistol? And he said, well, yeah, I think we can do that. We know a bunch of gunsmiths there. What do you need on it? So I said, well, this is the gun it's for, and that's all we ever want to see of it. And he said, yeah. So he made that, and he shipped those, and I bought a VZ-58 pistol from Checkpoint and had it imported through iRun Guns, which is a Canadian company that has a presence on both sides of the border. And they're quite good about whatever you buy stateside, they can get it to show up here.
And despite their name, they're perfectly legal.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
that's right. They don't work for the U.S. government on behalf of the cartels.
yeah, they run their own guns.
That's right. Edward, tell me a little bit about the VZ-58 pistol. How long has it been out? What different calibers does it come in?
Oh, goodness. They've had them listed. Checkpoint's listed these things for 5 or 6 years. They do a 223 variant and then a 7.62x39 variant. And before I imported it, there was sort of this concern over whether or not I'd actually be able to get mags. Because if you look in the regulations, it says that it has to be a handgun magazine that is readily available in Canada.
Right.
And so to look at that, I called the Firearms Tech Lab to say, you know, if I import one of these things, is it actually readily available? And I spoke on the phone with Bill Etter, who is the senior firearms technologist there. And he said, you know, anything that you import, we consider commonly available to include the use of a credit card and FedEx. So everything.
Wait, what?
So
if
the definite,
you can buy it with a credit
if
card,
if you buy it with
available.
A credit card and it comes through FedEx, it's readily available?
That's exactly it. So what's available in the U.S. is available here.
All right. Well, that's cool.
Is that the definition that they put in the Firearms Act?
No. See, that's the thing. Of course, there's no definition in the Firearms Act. It's just whatever the RCMP happens to interpret.
What we call Mountie law.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's an awful lot of that happening here.
What? No.
So under that definition, I said, oh, well, that says to me I should be good to go. So I bought the gun and had iRun Guns imported. And iRun Guns came back to me and said, you know, they want to take a look at it. And so we just registered it as a rifle, and here's your restricted rifle. And so it showed up at my door, and I went, oh, well, that's not really what I'm looking for here. And that's not what this really is, right? It's listed – it's the initial certificate that I was given was a CSA restricted rifle. And I went, well – CSA is a manufacturer, but that really doesn't reflect the state of this thing being imported from the States, and the fact that it is a handgun.
Right.
So I called the RCMP and I said, you know, I think there's an issue with my certificate. They said, okay. And I said, well, it was imported by these guys on this date and I have it, and it doesn't quite look like this. It's not a rifle. It's a handgun. It has these different features. It's from this different manufacturer. And they sort of listened to me and said, okay, that all sounds really good. Can you send us some pictures? I said, sure thing. So I took 14 or so high-res quality photos, and I sent them out, and I said, you know, here, this should give you a better idea of what I'm looking at. Is there any way that you can, you know, amend this? Because it's not a brand-new firearm, right? It's on an existing action. It's an existing barrel. But at the same time, it's definitely not what it was initially imported as. And he said, well, we're going to have to take a look at it. So fair enough. The RCMP pays for you to ship it out there. Somebody comes to your door, a perlator guy, and takes the gun. And so I sat back and I waited. And I waited for 6 months, fairly patiently. And then I sort of called and said, guys, you know, we're in the new year now, and it's 2014, and I'm looking to shoot some competitions with this thing. Any sign of, you know, what's going to happen? They said, well, you know, the forensics lab takes priority, so we can't really tell you when your gun's going to show up. I said, so are you saying I need to start bailing out of these competitions? They said, yeah, you should do that. So I waited longer again because, I mean, I legitimately, I would love to use this thing in sports shooting. I think it's
absolutely
great fun.
Yeah.
Probably 4 months pass and I email them or call them once every month. And then I call and they say, oh, well, in June, I'm like, guys, this is taking a while. I say, well, it's good news. Your firearm has been inspected. And the report is being written. I thought that was great. And they said, once the report's written, generally within 24 hours, you'll get a call. So skip forward to August.
Almost 24 hours or yeah, 24 so, days.
Oh, more than. It's literally 3 months later. I'm sort of going, guys, I filed a written request that said, you know, can I have my property back or some idea on what's happening with it? They said, oh, well, good news. Your report's actually going to be published next week. So I wait a week and I get an email. It is the report. And I break it down. And it's quite an interesting report because it does give an inspection of the firearm and then it compares it to a rifle. And then it says, yes, this is a pistol. They say, yes, this left the Czech Republic as a pistol and went to the U.S.
And magically turned into a rifle.
Well, and it's quite odd. Yeah, because if you read through the chronology of it, they say, yeah, so this left the Czech Republic as a pistol and then was modified in some way by checkpoint. They weld the muzzle brake on it because I guess in the States, putting a muzzle brake on it is not a good thing. Then it was imported by Mr. Osborne and registered as a rifle here and then brought to us. And so their big thing is they say, well, our definition of a handgun is anything that is modified or designed to be fired with one hand.
Well, there you go.
So really wide
excellent.
Open.
My AR is a pistol.
Yeah,
I can shoot it
so
one-handed.
So is my shotgun, yeah.
and the key thing is it also includes modified. So it doesn't have to be designed from the factory.
It says modified. Yeah.
So I figured that was a good sign on my part. And they say clearly that this is a handgun, except that it's not clearly a handgun. It's a rifle that's been retrofitted as a handgun.
Sure, but that's fine because it says modified to be fired with one hand. So it's still a handgun.
Yeah, and as far as I'm concerned, like it's not like I bought a restricted rifle and then I was sawing stuff off and welding things in other places.
As one should do, by the way. If you're out there wondering if you should saw that, yes, go for it. Then weld it.
Please remember this show is for entertainment purposes only.
Don't really saw anything. I was kidding, guys. I'm kidding. Put down the bandsaw.
Remember, go to a friend's house instead.
Generally, if you're modifying a firearm, ugh. But I hadn't done anything to this, right, to sort of do it as a home conversion. I bought this as a listing that says VZ-58 pistol.
Right.
Seems straightforward. But the way that they trace the lineage, they say it started as a rifle. And so,
keep going. Sorry.
Yeah. So by their lineage, they say it began life as a rifle. It's a rifle receiver at its core, and that various modifications were made to make it a U.S. compliant pistol, and that various modifications were made that make it technically a handgun in Canada, but at its heart, it's still a rifle. And that the magazine that I submitted must be a rifle magazine. That's been labeled, and they use sort of some fairly accusatory, as if I'm the guy soldering stuff in the backyard to make it, or like I'd spray painted the label on there. I mean,
right.
It can't. As far as I was concerned, it was above board. It came from the Czech Republic, right? But they say it's a they imply that it's an imitation magazine, and as a result, I can have my handgun back, but I can't have the magazine for it.
Wow.
So I found that really disappointing.
Yeah, no kidding. Especially when it says, like they said right in the opening, anything modified to be. Once you say that, it's all over. I don't care what it started out as. And you can use the flip example, the Taurus Judge comes as a, no, what is it, the Kiappa, it's like a revolver shotgun or a revolver 22.
Yes. But
because it's a pistol frame, they're always restricted in Canada. So they're using this law two different ways to make sure that they oppress us no matter which way we look at it.
Well, and it really is, especially when you look at the context of firearms, right? You look exactly at that. You have a revolver that has an 18.5-inch barrel and a massive stock on it. And it's not really a revolver anymore. It's a rifle.
No, it's now a rifle. But
it's core mechanism, right?
Right.
So in this case, we're doing also, there's a weird swap with one of the 22s where you have a 22 that's a 22 rifle. So in theory should be open capacity, right? Because 22s, it doesn't matter what your capacity is,
right.
Except that there's also a 22 handgun. I'm pretty sure there's a Smith & Wesson I'm describing. There's a 22 handgun.
Yeah. We've heard of this. The Mossberg also has fallen victim to this.
Right.
The Mossberg? Yeah, because they came out with a pistol version of their little 22 Plinkster there that looks like an AR. And so because they came out with the pistol version, same thing happened with Ruger. They came out with a Ruger Charger. All of a sudden, Ruger Charger mags were not allowed to be full capacity. They had to be pinned. But regular 10/22 mags, those were good to go, even though they're the exact same magazine.
Right, and that's interpreting this in the same way but the opposite way,
yep.
Right? Suddenly, all these rifle magazines are now pistol magazines because they've been used in a pistol. I don't understand why going the opposite direction, my pistol magazine is now a rifle magazine. It's all over
whichever
the place.
Way gives you less freedom is the way they rule, it sounds like.
Oh, it's unbelievably odd.
Yeah.
And for me, I found it really disheartening, right? Because I spent a year waiting for this thing.
Yep.
And at various points, it looked like it was going to come out good, right? They said, oh, you know, we completed a report. Oh, these photos look good. Like, we just need to inspect it. And for them to come back and say, yes, this is a handgun, I go, awesome. And for them to say, oh, but your rifle magazine thing is different, it sucks. It really sucks. There were a lot of curse words used that day.
I bet you. So there's
can't imagine.
So they're saying that your CZ pistol is a handgun in Canada, but it's actually a rifle.
Yeah. The type.
Whatever.
It's CZ. We're talking about CZ.
Yeah, so. VZ. Sorry, VZ.
Yeah, it is one of those things that does make a difference. Interesting point. If you ever talk about any of these with Americans, you can't call them a CZ or a VZ. You have to be a VZ.
Yeah. No,
we do that a lot.
I didn't realize that at all, but it made a huge difference when trying to order this thing.
You want a V what now?
So the official RCMP labeling of this, when you list type in your certificate,
mm-hmm.
This is a handgun adaptation of a rifle.
Which
I don't even think that classification existed until 3 months ago.
No, and it doesn't, right? There's no classification in law for that at all.
Right.
It's just
exactly. So don't you, Edward, have grounds to appeal this? Well, grounds to appeal and money to appeal are two different things, I suppose.
That's exactly it, right? Is that
they
this
know
point
they can trample a person's rights unless that person has money to defend their rights in court, and they do it all the time.
Yeah.
So the NFA or the CSSA or both should get behind you on this because it affects all of us.
I have spoken to the CSSA, and I have spoken to Solomon Friedman and said, you know, is there anything that we can actually do here? Is this useful? And they've both sort of said, actually, that's not true. I haven't heard back from Solomon yet. Tony Bernardo at the CSSA has said that he's passed it on, that higher people have looked, people in government have looked at it and said that this is kind of BS. And I guess the implication is that I should hold on until sometime this fall when we see what the new firearms law looks like and whether or not that makes things better for me.
Right.
I'm going to disagree with that advice. I think we all know what's coming in the legislation this fall, and I feel that it's a safe bet to say there's nothing coming that's going to help you.
I think it's going to be pretty narrow.
Yeah, I feel like you were being put off a little bit. I don't understand the logic in waiting for the common sense firearms legislation to come out when there's nothing coming out.
That's common sense.
That deals with this sort of thing.
Right.
It deals with ATTs and license reform,
not pistols being transferred into handguns.
Yeah, there was that whole thing about the RCMP no longer being able to reclassify something that's currently classified.
Yeah.
But yeah, so here's an example of they're going to screw with everything else that's new, though.
Yeah.
And I definitely feel like that's a part of it. And I sort of felt like I was possibly delayed on this in order for them to see how some of the Swiss Arms stuff fell out. I mean, if you read some of the, this is what really gets me. If you read some of the reports from the RCMP to the public safety minister, they'll talk about how they inspect 3,000 firearms a year. And I did the math and it broke down to, if they're working 8-hour days, 5 days a week, they do 14 and a half firearms a day that they can expect.
Yeah. But yours took 6 months.
Yeah, it's really odd.
Do they honestly believe when they make those statements that nobody's going to check the numbers?
Yeah, I
really
don't understand.
Well, I mean, way to go, Columbo. Your detective work is really, man alive.
Yeah, it's crazy.
But the forensic lab has priority.
And see, that was what I was initially told, was the forensic lab had priority. And when I came back to them and I sort of said, you know, guys, these numbers don't really add up as far as I try not to be too snarky about it, but you say, that doesn't really match with what my experience has been. And they said, oh, well, that's the forensics lab. The lab that your gun in does no forensics whatsoever. So they have an inspection lab. So I don't know why I was told that forensics takes priority when the inspection lab has nothing to do with the forensics side of firearms.
Except maybe the same personnel run both labs.
Or it could be they were just government red tape, your bureaucrats BSing you.
Yeah, that's
we'll more give you than this likely. Answer until you question it, and then we'll reword it.
Yeah,
yeah. It seemed like
all
a very
we got two
back
labs.
And forth. I guess they also probably didn't expect anybody to actually look at their briefings to the public safety minister. I think there's a lot of things that the RCMP didn't think anyone was going to file a Freedom of Information Act request, and now those things are out there, and they kind of contradict themselves.
Yeah, but really, I don't even think they care, because what's anybody going to do about it anyway? What anybody do about it anyway? Well, oh, you caught us lying, whatever. We're the RCMP.
Yeah, well,
you can't touch us anyway.
Lying, and you can use that in your appeal.
That's true, yeah.
So, Edward, what is your next move? Or where do you go from here?
Right now, I am essentially cooling my heels to see what happens. I'd like to get the gun back in my hands. That's sort of the priority for me right now, is actually have it back in my possession so I can decide what to do with it and whether I can take this further.
Right. So I was following this on a couple different forums, and one of them, somebody had said something along the lines of, if, you know, this is a receiver that was designed for a rifle, and they understood that logic that the RCMP applied to it that way. They were sort of playing devil's advocate, kind of taking the RCMP side, but in a logical way, just to kind of help. And they said that the next step might be to produce a receiver that has the back end solid, so that you literally could not attach a stock, and it would have been produced initially from the factory. Would that solve this problem, or is the RCMP still going to say, because of course ultimately the end result here, what we want to have happen is 10 round pistol mags for the VZs or the VZs.
Right.
So, you know, we want the pistol mags, and rightly so. So,
so that seems like a good solution. And in fact, I had sort of toyed with that initially. I own 4 VZ rifles, and I thought about just taking the stock out of one of my little 7.5-inch units and puttying it up and sending them out to them. But then I thought, you know, that is kind of a conversion, kind of a messy area. So I went out and I did what I thought was the right thing. I bought a pistol from the manufacturer, and that wasn't good enough. So it's possible that manufacturing your own might be the next logical step to get a receiver made from the ground up in Canada that says VZ pistol in huge letters on the side. but even then, it's not a guarantee, right? It's always a dice roll, and it's always an 8 or 9 month wait, it seems.
The problem is, though,
why approve the AR pistol and not this one?
That's exactly what I was
just
going to say.
AR pistol has a buffer tube on it. Yeah. I mean, it looks way more like a adapted rifle whatever than this thing.
I'd like to know the difference.
That was a long time ago, though. I mean, that you have to remember that the things, a lot of it has changed even in the last, you know, 2 years in the firearms industry in Canada and just the firearm culture in Canada. So they may be feeling a little more threatened and maybe making decisions based on that.
The precedent has been set, though.
Yep.
Right? So how can they come up with two different decisions based on the same problem? Like, they
simple
have
Mountie Law, and they'll do what they want until they're told otherwise by a judge. And then if you're the CFO Ontario, you ignore that too.
Right.
There's no one standing up for our rights and no one calling them on their BS when they contradict their own rules and policies.
So I think, personally, this is a blatant example of them contradicting themselves and not following their own precedents that they've set. Because, like Trevor said, the AR pistol is far less a pistol than the CZ pistol is. Just look at them side by side. One of them, like Trevor said, has a buffer tube hanging out the back, and the other one doesn't. One of them actually looks like it could be a pistol. And the other one, could look like it was a pistol too, but a little bit less so. Yet the one that doesn't look like it is classified as a pistol, and the one that does isn't. It's just, something's got to be done about this.
Asinine is what it is.
Mm.
That's something, something's got to be done, but nothing will be done until somebody can afford to take them to court and make them follow their own, not their law, the laws of the land that they're paid by us to enforce.
That's the thing, and if they would simply enforce the law as it's written, we would have hardly any headaches. If they would just enforce it the way it's written as opposed to making up stuff as they go along.
Yeah. Well, as I said, this is purely a case of Mountie Law.
Well, and you also run into tons of issues with the initial law itself, right? When you talk about designed to be fired with one hand, well, does that apply to what, right? Like,
It applies to anything semi-automatic, if you ask me, because you don't need two hands to run it.
You need to have a pistol grip to hold it in your hand at the very least. We can hold traditional long guns in one hand and fire them. But I mean, when you go so far as to put a pistol grip on it, that's got to meet the definition of designed to be fired with one hand.
I would think so. As long as you can hold it up, you know, with any sort of ability. I don't know.
And that's the thing. It's just, it's really vague, right? There's lots of points in the law. Same thing when you get into variants, right? What really qualifies as a variant? Who knows? Because the law is not worded in a way that is clear enough.
Yeah. Yeah, no, they really knew what they were doing when they wrote this law. They made it vague enough to make sure they were able to interpret it any way they want.
Well, Edward, I certainly wish you all the luck in this fight, and I do hope that you fight it, and I hope you find the means to fight it. I don't know, maybe we need a Kickstarter program?
some sort of PayPal account set up.
Yeah, and I would encourage you to contact the NFA if you haven't already, and if they give you the same answer or...
Yeah.
Maybe something a little different. I'm surprised they haven't contacted you, actually. I'm sure that they're aware of this.
Well, I've been lightly in touch with the NFA a couple of times, and yeah, I'm hoping that in the future we can see something that'll be a little more consistent.
Yeah, that would be good, for sure.
Any final questions for Edward, gentlemen, before we set him free?
Yeah, tell our listeners where to find your writings and videos and stuff.
Oh, I post all over the web. Generally, if you see anything with TV-PressPass on the .com, on Twitter, on CGN, on GOC, I'm all over the place.
Cool. And YouTube as well?
Yeah, YouTube as well.
Beauty.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much for joining us, Edward.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Stay in touch. Till next time. How about some listener feedback? I'm going to grab the first one from Chris because it makes
sense. I want some listener feed front.
Feed front. I see what you did there.
Not quite sure.
Try it again.
You're about to get a blast from Chris Rakowski, so just sit tight and listen.
Bring it. Chris who?
Rakowski.
Never heard of him.
He does Chris's Corner on Action Shooting Radio. You don't listen,
who?
So. Yeah, right. Listen, you vegetarian. He says, okay, guys, it's time for Owen to turn in his man card. His response to International Bacon Day was that if Trevor had told him, he would have picked up some bacon on the way home. What? What the hell? That is just wrong. A, why was his house out of bacon in the first place? In fact, since two is one and one is none, he should have had at least two packages of bacon on hand at all times. Not much of a prepper. B, you need an international observance to go buy bacon? You should have already been buying bacon on the way home, because bacon! Even if you already had some bacon, it's bacon! Buy it. C, shouldn't he have already been planning to eat bacon when he got home? You know, because bacon! This all sounds highly suspect, and I think we need to put him on probation. This is right up there with shooting 22 on a regular basis, downloading 9mm reloads for your wife because they're too noisy and have too much recoil,
hey!
Firing warning shots, and other such wimpy endeavors.
What? Ah, now he's... Trevor, now I don't like you either, Chris.
Trevor, I thought I would never say this, but by process of elimination, you apparently are the only man left on the show. Ooh, wow, that was painful to say. I think I hurt my soul.
I think you hurt your soul, too.
I replied to him and said, soul? What soul? You've got a soul? He had a reply and said, yes, it's there, it's black, it's dark, but it's there. I suggest you give these guys some homework and force them to eat each 2 pounds of bacon apiece during the next show. Oh, you guys were supposed to be eating 2 pounds of bacon tonight. As a show of solidarity, I will eat 2 pounds of bacon while I listen to it. Chris.
Done. I'll do that next week.
And Chris ran his mouth, much like Brendan Hennessy, and challenged him to a shooting contest as well.
Right.
And he's like, oh, sure. I forget what he said. Oh, him and Brian Bolivar got on my case, and Brian said, and he's going to threaten to cut us in 3, 2, and I'm going to cut you effers. And then he said, well, Brian, we can at least both agree that Trevor sucks. And I was like, beep, please. How about we print off some classifiers, we set them up, and we compare points in time. Let's see who sucks. And he was like, oh, yeah, sure. Production versus open. That's fair. I was like, I have a production gun. I will shoot production. He's like, yeah, I just like to run my mouth. I was like, whew, I knew one of us would weasel out. I didn't want to do it. So, anyway.
Am I allowed to respond to this?
Yeah. Bacon.
30 seconds, then go.
30 seconds. I have a freezer full of bacon. In fact, this is not wimpy bacon from the store. It's not bacon that's been processed and injected full of all kinds of crap. This is real bacon. This is bacon I actually killed an animal myself, cut it up myself, put it in the freezer myself. First of all. Second of all, the reason I wasn't going to eat that bacon and the reason I would bring bacon home, because I do bring home the bacon around here, is that the bacon I have here is frozen and you don't put frozen bacon in the microwave because that's sacrilege against the, you know, bacon religion.
Right.
So I would bring bacon home because bacon in the store isn't frozen and I could eat it right away. Raw. Straight out of the package.
Nice. We did that as kids.
So you, what you're trying to say is you are really a man.
Yes, Chris who? That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, Chris who. Chris Rakowski? Never heard of her.
Oh! That's awful.
Sorry, Chris. We love you. Well, Trevor does. No, he doesn't. None of us do. Oh, Trevor does. He does after all. That's one out of three.
There you go. All right.
You love him because he's the only one that, or you're the only one he didn't call a non-man, so.
Oh, he calls me names all the time. He's a critique of Action Shooting Radio. And by critique, I mean critic.
Right.
Who's got Mike's email?
I'll take it. Hi, guys. My wife and I have just completed our first pistol course, and while there, my wife realized how essential an Apex trigger is for her to shoot accurately with her M&P9. What is your opinion on installing aftermarket parts on a gun that may happen to be the closest one to where you sleep? What about weapon-mounted lights? I'm curious what Trevor's opinion is, as he's been to Mag 40 and open carried in Utah and yelled at Stan in Walmart.
He didn't write that. That's
no, he
funny.
Didn't, but it's funnier. So that's from Mike. So he says, thanks, guys, for the awesome show. Mike, we do it for you, man. Mm-hmm. Just you, though. Nobody else. So, Trevor, what is your opinion on the Apex trigger, first of all?
Nah.
Why?
Trigger, it's too light.
Okay.
For a home defense gun.
But doesn't it give it a better reset?
Well, I know this is Canada. It's not going to matter. As far as the courts are concerned, they're not going to go after you for a negligent discharge in shooting the bad guy. They're going to go after you anyway.
Right.
So, and really, they wouldn't, you know.
So, you might as well.
Well, no, I wouldn't say you might as well. You get a lot of, you lose, coordination when the adrenaline starts going and your extremities start to tremor and you don't want to have an AD at a target that's not your intended target, like your teenager that's sneaking into the house. So a heavy but clean home defense trigger is a good idea. So I'd leave the M&P stock trigger alone. The only things I would do to a home defense gun are like what I've done to my home defense gun, and that is, sights and a light. So some night sights and a light, absolutely a light, and get one that you can toggle on and off. I've got one that you push down, it's spring loaded. The second you take your finger off, it goes off. You flip it up and it stays on. Something like that is nice. M&P is a good choice, but I wouldn't play with the trigger.
So if she wanted to use this gun primarily for competition, then the Apex trigger might be a good idea.
Well, it would be illegal in production division.
True. If he's shooting IPSC.
Yeah.
We don't know what he's shooting.
Yeah. If he's shooting. I'm not sure where he's from. If he's in the States, you can do what you want to your trigger in USPSA production division and right. in IDPA.
So, yeah, it depends. But here's the thing. You're going to be shooting this gun. I mean, if you have it set up primarily as a home defense gun, yeah, don't mess with it. But if it's primarily a competition gun and it just happens to be the one that you would use for self-defense, yeah. Then, you know,
get
whatever.
A second gun.
It's probably the best advice there is get a second gun. Get one that
get
is dedicated
gun.
For this.
Get a basement gun, get a bedroom gun, and get a bug out bag gun. That's what I've done this week.
Yeah.
So, you know, yeah, the M&P is going to go in the basement.
There you go.
So
where all of your Glock mags are. Man, what are you going to do with mags, man?
I got so many Glock mags now, I don't know what to do with.
Oh, well, I do. So does Owen.
Fill them with full of bullets.
But you don't have as many as I do.
No, probably not. I don't know. Well, I have Glock mags. You have Korean mags, so whatever.
You have Glock mags too, but I have a mix. So, and they all work great.
Thanks for the email, Mike, and kudos on getting your wife shooting. Do whatever you need to do to get her to enjoy that gun, so put an Apex trigger on it if she wants it.
Yeah.
Did we answer the question about weapon-mounted lights?
Yeah, Trevor said, yay, go for it.
Oh, okay, yeah. I have on mine an Inforce. Oh, dear, now I can't remember the name of it, the model. Anyway, it's an Inforce light, and it's awesome.
I've got a UTG. It was on my Glock 21, and it was okay on my Glock 21, but on my 17, it looks huge because it has two batteries because it's not only a light, it's a light and a laser.
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty big. It's too big, actually, for the 17, but on the 21, it didn't look too bad. Actually, initially, I bought it to put on the front of the Sub 2000.
Okay, this is a APL. It's called an Inforce APL. It's about 200 lumens, nice and
bright.
It's definitely bright. I love that it has these paddles on the back right where your finger would sit.
Yep, that's what mine has.
And, okay, yeah. So it's real simple, right. On, off, yeah. Yeah, you just push the button, and the button's on either side, so you can press it with your thumb that is forward, if your thumbs are long enough.
Yeah, it looks similar to yours, Trevor, except it's a bit more, or it operates similar to yours, but it's a lot more streamlined. I've played with both of your guys' lights.
Streamlined, that's what I'm looking for.
Yeah.
Nice. So, cost-wise?
I don't remember. It came with, my wife's gun when she got her Glock. It was on it. So I stole it and put it on mine.
Oh, the Glock came in.
Yes.
Yeah.
Did you get her in the 4 or the 3?
It's Gen 3.
Gen 3, eh?
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. She doesn't seem to have an issue with it.
Pardon me?
She hasn't had any issues with it so far.
Getting around to the mag release without, breaking her grip and stuff? I practically have to let go of the gun to reach that thing.
No,
but I have hobbit thumbs. I have itty bitty little hobbit thumbs. So.
Yeah, no, she hasn't had too much issue that way. I mean, we haven't shot it a lot either. So it's been to the range once or twice, but that's it.
If any of the listeners are listening, if any of the listeners who are listening have a Glock 17 Gen 4 and they want to trade for a Gen 3 and maybe a little bit of cash, contact me. Who's got Derek's email?
You do.
Okay. Hi, guys. Love the show. Question for Matthew. Why are your arms so skinny? In the past, nothing? Okay. In past episodes, Matthew has referred to himself several times as a smaller guy with spaghetti arms.
No.
Oh, I didn't even read that.
Rim firearms, not spaghetti arms.
Right. We say spaghetti arms.
Right. Behind my back when I'm not listening because you hate me.
So my question is, in Matthew's opinion, what non-restricted firearm would be Marlin 795 would be considered to be the best suited for smaller stature guys interested in something lightweight and reliable for both hunting and home defense? That's home defense against legged varmints, of course.
Four-legged.
Yeah, I wasn't counting it. I don't want to discriminate. Thanks, guys. Keep up the great work. Derek in Manitoba.
First off, it should be noted that Matthew is not necessarily a smaller stature guy. He is tall.
Yeah, look at the picture of the three of us together. He's taller than I am. Aren't you, Matthew? Aren't you taller than me?
I don't know. I think it's pretty close.
Yeah, you might have me by at least half an inch.
I doubt it.
You know. Anyways,
you're over 6 feet, so.
No, I'm not.
Well, you're 6 feet.
Just a little under, but whatever. I don't know why we're talking about my height. It's clearly my arms that are the issue here.
It is. So non-restricted
rifle. No, he said smaller stature.
He did say smaller stature, yeah.
Well, you do weigh 120.
No, 140. when I'm soaking wet.
And lead boots.
Hey, I did 100 push-ups the other day.
That doesn't make you any bigger.
Not in a row, but yeah. I did 100 in a day.
I did one every, 10 or 15 minutes.
No, it took me about 5 minutes to do them. Wow, I did 20 at a time and rested in between sets. So
non-restricted rifle for small people?
Yep. So we're coming back to that. So you want to keep this on topic is what you're saying.
Trying.
Right. Okay.
Nice. Filthy made 17 burgers for tomorrow night.
That's awesome. I can't wait till tomorrow night. Let's talk about non-restricted rifles.
Put the cheese in them and the bacon.
Trevor, it's about time to mute your mic there, isn't it?
He made them wearing his helmet.
I could just hang up on you. That'd be fun, too.
Yeah, that would be fun. You should have done that earlier. I'm going with shotgun.
Thank you, Matthew. That's fantastic. Carry on.
I at least stopped myself. I was going to answer, but I stopped myself.
No, you guys should both actually answer. Then I'll give you my opinion as well. So, Owen says shotgun.
Nobody else was going to say anything.
Well, I was going to, but Trevor kept interrupting me about Filthy's burger.
But, of course, it also he didn't clarify what kind of hunting either, so.
For both hunting and home defense, Owen is, onto something. A Mossberg 500 is very lightweight. It's a pump-action shotgun in 12-gauge, and it doesn't kick that bad. So, I mean, that's not a bad option. But I do think he means rifle, personally, I think. And I think he probably means semi-automatic rifle, would be my guess.
Well, home defense was kind of the giveaway there.
Right. So that's my guess. And now, that's not to say that a pump-action rifle wouldn't be out of the question, but I do think a bolt action would be because they're very slow for home defense and whatnot. But there are three non-restricted rifles that I'd sort of, they sort of fit the bill. I don't know if I'd recommend them, but they sort of fit the bill. One's the SU-16. The upside is it looks cool, it folds in half and is really neat, and it takes AR mags. It's a 223. So
the downside is it's made of plastic, it's junk, and it breaks.
That is a downside. So you've got to take that into consideration. The second option would be a Ruger Mini 14.
That was going to be my suggestion.
Very reliable.
You guys are never going to believe what I'm going to suggest.
Hold on. Very reliable. Yeah. I bet you I can guess what you're going to suggest.
Okay.
and the new ones, make sure you get one of the newer ones. They are a bit more accurate than the older ones. The older ones did have a tendency to be inaccurate. The newer ones are a bit more accurate. Downside, of course, is 5-round mags only. You're not going to find anything more than 5-round mag for a Mini 14. But the third thing that I was going to suggest, if you wanted to stick with 223, is a VZ-58 in 223.
Oh, that was the one I was going to say. Man, you're stealing all my ideas.
Okay, Matthew, you ready? You ready to predict mine? And we should make a bet first. And the loser has to do something embarrassing at the 3-gun. Like every time you go to the lion, saying, now up, the greatest, the one, the only, McClatchy. Something silly.
Okay.
Because you're not going to guess what I'm going to suggest.
I might.
So what are we betting here?
Maybe not. There's too many guns.
There's too many guns. I think I know what you... Okay, can I have two guesses?
Nope.
Not two, just one.
This one.
Okay, well, I think I know what it is.
All right, so what's on the line?
Yeah, at the 3-gun, every time the loser, every time the other person gets to RO him and gets to yell in his ear throughout the entire stage.
What? No.
Wow.
You're doing it wrong. Go faster. You suck for a lot.
Your teammates are dying.
All right, I guess it just has to be a gentleman's bet then. Nothing's on the line. Boring.
No, something.
I'm boring like me.
I don't know. Something we'll have to do. Something
we'll come up with a punishment after. I guess. I think you're going
to
suggest
you'll have to serve me supper, or I'll serve you supper.
Oh, okay.
You sit
there
at
you
the
go.
Table, and I will serve you your meal, and you will do the same.
All right. All right.
Okay. Go ahead. What's your guess?
No, you guess first.
No.
Sub 2000 and 9.
No.
No.
No. Good one though, because it's lever action and it's pistol and mag fed, right? But. No, I'm actually going to suggest.
No, the Sub 2000 isn't a lever action.
That's what I'm going to suggest, a lever action.
Oh, I see.
I'm going to suggest a lever action in a pistol carbine, in a pistol caliber. 357 Magnum in the house. Yeah. Not going to carry through walls like a 223 would.
Yeah, it is. No, 223 won't go through a wall nearly as quickly as a 357 Mag will.
We're going to have to find out.
There's one way to find out. We're going to have to do it ourselves.
No, it's going to give him, lots of capacity.
Yep.
It's going to give him lots of knockdown power.
Yep. But here's the downside to it.
Cycling.
And because I have found the fatal flaw in your logic, the bet's off, because how are you going to load that thing in time? One at a time through the loading gate? while somebody's breaking into your house. Meanwhile, sub 2000, he throws a Glock mag in. He's good.
I agree, but that wasn't the bet.
No, no, but because I found the fatal flaw in your logic, the bet's off.
That wasn't the bet. You're serving me my supper. That's all.
And my fingers were crossed. So, and you're right. I will serve you your supper.
Your arms are going to be crossed behind your back and around
your head. Filthy, if you're listening, you need to spit in Furlot's burger right now. Carry on. And if you don't, I will when I serve it to him. All right.
I think you nailed it, though. A pistol, caliber, carbine, semi-automatic with a magazine is an excellent choice.
Yeah, sub-2000 is non-restricted.
Get that one. I would get the Just Right Carbine.
Yeah, Just Right Carbine would be a good one,
too. The sub-2000 is also junk. When you close the bolt and the feed ramp falls out the magwell, that's not a good gun.
Generally a bad thing, I guess. Yeah.
I'm going to have to second on the VZ-58. VZ-58, because I've handled one of those. They are, at least the one I've handled, is very adjustable. It has, you know, a collapsible stock. Yep. So if you are a smaller stature, you can shorten it up for whatever you need. In fact, the person I know who has one is of shorter stature. And
so not me, then.
Not you.
No, and not sure. Can I squirrel?
He has it in...
apparently not.
7.62 by 39.
Too bad, I'm squirreling anyway. When I was at your place last night, Owen, I was supposed to get Jewel to try out your short barrel AR there.
Right.
And she forgot, and I forgot, and you forgot.
All right.
Because she wants to see if she can run that for the Daniel Shaw course.
Right. Oh, there'll be other times.
Yeah, before October.
She's in town every day. I'm sure she can find one evening to come out and try it.
I ordered a polymer lower today. How did I forget that?
I want one of those for Jewel. I want to make her a polymer-lowered AR dedicated 22.
Go to S&J Hardware. They're on sale for $50.
What? I'm getting one. Stripped lower, right?
$50, stripped lower. Polymer.
Dude, yeah, that's a cool deal. Because that'll be nice and lightweight for her. I was actually just listening to the gun dudes. They were talking about the new carbon fiber lowers. Yeah, fiber. That would be
Mark
cool.
Mark Price is right. That's what I need for my 7.62 AR build.
Definitely. And yet I'm the guy that's having my manhood questioned.
Why?
And you guys are like freaking out about wanting these really super lightweight guns.
Have you not been like listening to the firearms industry lately? Everybody's getting lightweight guns these days.
When you carry four guns, they got to be lightweight.
Yeah. Nobody's carrying M14s anymore.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh. That's okay, Owen. We understand. And you are still the biggest man here. Actually, no, Trevor's the biggest man here, but that's only because of volume.
I was going to say, I've been volume. Out of-
Read this last email quick before we run out of time.
You talking to me?
I don't know, somebody. Trevor's in charge here, so Trevor should
Last week, some listener discussed some sort of VZ pistol that wasn't allowed to come into the country.
From Manny.
This is from Manny, from Winnipeg.
I'm going to get to that.
Matthew, this is the guy.
This is the guy?
Yeah.
All right. Keep going.
I looked at the Firearms Act to see if a pistol was defined. As far as I could tell, it's not. Depending on what type of gun it is, it's placed in a certain category, non-restricted, restricted, prohibited. I don't think that a VZ would be stopped. Mind you, I didn't look at the list of prohibited items either. If, in fact, the RCMP did define what a pistol is, it would help greatly. Instead of just calling a pistol a restricted weapon. That way, there would be no problem having that pistol come into Canada. If they are stopping it to not allow Canadians to have a 10-round mag, that bothers me a lot. Please, RCMP, stop your madness. Canadian laws, eh? And that is Manny from Winnipeg. See, I was getting to his name.
Yeah, you were getting there. No, look, man, that will bother you a lot, because I think that's exactly why they ruled the way they did. They want to stop us from having 10-round mags.
I concur.
Yeah, so, yeah, no, we did talk a little bit about what the definition of a pistol was. Anything that can be modified or has been designed to be fired one-handed. And that's basically any gun with a pistol grip, if you ask me. So, yeah. No, they're making up stuff, but if you want to hear more about that, rewind to our main segment. All right, Trevor, take us out, man. Finish us off.
All right. So, as we do every week, we would like to... open up the show notes, but the computer's not cooperating.
Right. And get to the shout-outs.
Right, okay, we're at iTunes.
Yeah, we don't have one. Keep going.
Oh, okay, so shout-outs. So to all the guys who helped me this week get ready for the multi-gun, thank you so much. Sean at Freedom Ventures. Guys, if you don't shop at Freedom Ventures, you know what I'm going to call you. You're a communist. They have all kinds of incredible guns, long guns and handguns, mostly handguns. And they gave me a smoking deal on 3 guns for the SummerSlam prize table to be announced. Actually, they'll never be announced. You'll just have to show up to see what they are. But to Manny from Winnipeg, I hope you get both a Versamax and the job. So what does that mean? Well, Manny knows what it means. Manny dropped my name during a job interview.
Okay.
That's why he was the guy. Whenever he just read his email, and he's like, that's the guy? That this is the guy?
Manny was being interviewed by somebody that I know, and I don't think the guy doing the interview
knew
Manny,
that he knew that you knew that he knew you knew him?
I don't think they knew each other, and I don't think they knew that each other heard of our show. And so when the guy doing the interview says, so what's your next gun and why? He said, Remington Versamax, because Trevor on Slamfire Radio recommends it. Well, Ed almost fell out of his seat. And Ed didn't write in to complain about our goose hunting show, so Owen, you must have had it all right. And then I tagged him in your photo of you and a bunch of dead goose and said, see, Ed, you must be doing it right. So Manny, thanks a lot for listening, and Versamax for the win, for sure, dude. And be sure to join both of our National Firearms Association. They are the Canadian Shooting Sports Association and the National Firearms Association. Also, head on over to Gun Owners of Canada and check us out over there. Really cool contest this month, M14 and a zombie target, and a couple other good things. Like us on Facebook, because 1,030 is not nearly enough. No, we're trying to stay ahead of Polite Society Podcast and the Arms Girls Project, so help us out. And get over to check out all the great shows on the Reno Viola Outdoor Web Radio Network, as well as the Crusader Podcast Network. Tons of great material on each. Sadly, there are only two Canadian Pro Arms podcasts right now. Two of them. If you're a Canadian host on an American show, that doesn't make the show Canadian, does it, guys?
It adds some Canadian to the show, but that's like, you know, bringing a Mustang into Canada saying, now it's a Canadian car because there's a Canadian driver in it. Still an American car.
That's right. So, there you go.
So, Brian, now you have to buy a Mustang. I don't know where the logic flowed, but whatever, man.
I don't think there was a flow of logic. No. Brian's quite buttered over this whole thing.
Yeah? He'll be all right. If you'd come visit us more often, Brian, we'd stop making fun of you.
That's not true. We'll just make fun of you while you're here.
That's right. What you get. Actually, go over and check out Modern Rifleman Radio and listen to Brian's last episode about the Canadian Service Conditions Nationals. It was an excellent show. And so funny. Here I am, minding my own business, listening to Arms Girls Project, when who should interrupt the show and make his way on but Brian Bolivar. Talk about what? Service conditions. I was like, what the hell just happened? We're talking about prepping and gardening, and now Brian's talking about the most boring shooting sport on the planet. Great. Anyway. Brian's complaining. He's sending me Facebook messages. So
that's fantastic.
So,
you gonna wrap up the show or what?
Thanks for listening. Take some shooting. I'm Ron Burgundy. And
hug your guns and
hug your guns.
And Owen,
honk honk.
Awesome.
So if you have any comments or questions for the show, please send an email to slamfireradio@gmail.com. Now go grab a gun and shoot something.
When the talking is over, it's time to get a gun.
Hello, everyone.
Not just some people, but hello and everybody.
Hello, world.
Missing Calgary Hunter has been found dead after.
Parts of Missing Hunter. Sorry. Too soon? Sorry.
It might be. It really might be. Anyway, he went hunting near Pickle Jar Creek.
Containing Hunter? Sorry.
I thought he was going to mute his mic and play with his
He certainly didn't, did he? Okay. Maybe he didn't have enough time to get it to bear. Maybe a hand get it to bear. I did not intend that pun.
Oh, that's gold. Oh, sorry.
I, I'm
never heard Trevor laugh ever in my life. It wasn't even that great of a joke.
No, it wasn't. He's tired.
He is tired.
He's tired.
Yeah. Man.